We're starting a new series today, and it's called Parables. We will study the parables of Jesus. Amen? How many of you guys know what parables are? Yeah? They're kind of interesting sayings. They're sayings that are sometimes hard to understand with an untrained ear. Parables are riddles almost. Okay? Parables are a way to say something so only that certain people understand, but others don't understand. Okay? So let's open to Mark chapter 4, verse 1 through 20. Mark chapter 4, verses 1 through 20. Jesus said this, that parable that we're about to study is the most important parable there is. Why is it the most important one? You might ask. Because it's a gateway into understanding the kingdom of God. How many of you want to understand how kingdom of God works? Okay? If you want to understand how Christianity works and what is it all about, you have to understand this first parable. It's a parable of a sower in four different soils, four different grounds. So that's what we're going to read today. Now, the topic of my message today is kingdom of God is fruitfulness. Okay? If you wanted to know what is the kingdom of God, because all parables are about the kingdom of God. Kingdom of God is fruitfulness. Amen. Let's start reading it from the beginning. And again, Jesus began to teach by the sea. So notice that the primary ministry of Jesus is teaching. Yes, he is a healer. Yes, he casts out demons. Yes, he prophesies. Yes, he's the greatest apostle, but he's called Rabbi. What does that mean? Rabbi means teacher. Teaching is a very important ministry. Actually, I have the ministry of teaching. I am not so much a prophet or evangelist like LaVar here. I'm a teacher. I love teaching the Word of God. For many years, I was confused about the ministry of prophetic. How many of you know ministry prophetic is very popular? But the thing about ministry of prophetic, and a lot of people got confused about that ministry, and also they got disappointed in the ministry of prophetic. How many of you ever had a prophecy? Okay? How many of you had a prophecy that didn't come to pass? How many of you had a few prophecies that didn't come to pass? If you don't understand prophetic, you could get confused. Prophecies are mostly this way. You're going to be great. You're special. You're super. God has a special plan for your life. Let me tell you something about prophecy. And let me tell you something about your neighbor. Your neighbor is special. But if everybody is special, doesn't that make us ordinary? If everybody's special? Yeah. Everybody is special. Prophecy, and Bible says every one of you can prophesy. What is prophesying in a simple wording? It's encouraging. I can come to George and say, George, I see you a little bit down. And I feel like God wants to encourage you and give you joy. And God wants to fill you and tell him that. But notice, Bible says all can prophesy. But James chapter 3, verse 1, says not all of you should be teachers. Because we fall under greater judgment. So, prophecy is a blueprint of what God wants to do. Prophecy is an encouragement what God wants you to do. But teaching is actually getting you, teaching you how to do what God wants you to do. So let's say this. You're struggling with your finances. And you pray and God gives you a word that you're going to be blessing your finances. Right? You're like, yes. And you automatically think that God is going to bless your finances and you won't have to do anything and you go to the mailbox. I might get a check, you know. You hear those stories, you know, from televangelists, almost like, and you're like, go to the mailbox. There'll be a check for you. It'll cover all your bills and a little extra. As long as you send me a check in a mail to my ministry. And so you send them a check and then you go to the mailbox waiting. See, prophecy is only a seed. Prophecy is a seed. Teaching is how you get the seed in the ground and to grow. If you had a prophecy that didn't come to pass, it's not because the prophet missed it or God missed it. It's because what kind of soil are you? And that's what we're studying today. And this is the key parable that we're studying. Because we're going to study a few parables, like quite a few parables in the next month or so. But today is the key. If you wanted to unlock a safe, don't you need a combination? Yeah, you need a combination to get into the safe. Well, this parable right here that we're studying today is a combination into the kingdom of God. And kingdom of God is fruitfulness. You remember God said that tree that does not produce fruit will be cut down. Remember Jesus was hungry, walked by a fig tree, and he looked for figs to eat, and it didn't have any figs. He said what? May no one eat fruit of you from now on. Next day they walk by, the tree is dry. God is looking for fruitfulness. And really, you are looking for fruitfulness in your life as well. How many of you like to be unfruitful? How many of you like to be down and depressed? How many of you like to be unloving and unkind and unpeaceful? How many of you like that? Isn't the whole point of us trying to get better? Don't we all reach for the stars and want to achieve things in our life? Amen. And the point about parables of Jesus, he wants you to get there as well. Now, how are you going to get there? Prophecy by itself will not get you there. Because like a blueprint will not by itself build a house. You need a builder to take the blueprint and build a house. Amen. So I hope I gave you a taste of what this parable is all about. So let's keep reading, can we? Let's read. And again, he began to teach them by the sea. And a great multitude was gathered to him, so that he got into the boat and sat in it on the sea. And the whole multitude was on the land facing the sea. So Jesus is in a boat, looking in the land. They're all on the land looking at him. Okay? On the Sea of Galilee. Then he taught them many things by parables. And he said to them in his teaching, listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. I'm thinking here, wouldn't you, Jesus, want to teach them how to heal people? Because really, all the people there came to be healed, to eat some free food, right? So wouldn't you teach him about healing, how to cast out a demon? Wouldn't that be more profitable? Why do you teach him about sowing? Really, let's get to the point of it. Let's get exactly what we need. But Jesus is not only interested in giving you a temporary quick fix. He wants you to know how to live by the kingdom principles. If he gives you fish, next day you'll come to him so you can get more fish. Remember, Jesus got mad at them. He's like, you didn't come to me to hear my teaching. You came to get some food. And he got upset with them. Because people want the product, they don't want, how do you get the product? And what Jesus wants, he wants you to know how he operated. So you can do what he did. And don't just be a beggar coming, please Jesus, give me some more fish. Can we multiply fish again? Right? So that's why he's teaching these parables. He wants us to know how we can be fruitful. Okay? Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. And it happened, as he sowed, that some seed fell by the wayside. What is a wayside? This would be kind of a wayside right here. It would be like a sidewalk. A concrete patch. Imagine sowing your seed on a concrete. It's not going to grow because the birds are going to come and eat it. Let's keep reading. And the birds of the air came and devoured it. They ate it. All right. Next one. Some fell on a stony ground where it did not have much earth. And immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched. And because it had no root, it withered away. Do you know that prophecy is a seed? It's not the product already. It's the future of the product. Do you know that in a pear tree, there is a seed? But in that seed, in a pear itself, there is a seed that if you plant it, it could have forests in it. So I do believe that we all have great potentials. God put great potentials in us, just like He did in the seed. But that seed has to be planted in the ground. So you plant a seed from a pear tree. It grows into a pear tree, produces many pears. You can take those pears, take out a seed, and do what? Plant them again. So what do you have in one seed? Forests. You have orchards in one seed. Same with the Word of God. If it's planted, it could produce great things in your life. If it's not planted in the right soil, it will be stolen away. And there's nothing greater than Satan wants to do today is to steal the seed. Because if you think about God, He wants you to be prosperous in every area of your life. I'm not talking just finances. Amen? So, and the birds devoured it. Verse 5. Some fell on a stony ground where it did not have much earth. And immediately it sprang up because it had no depths of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched. And because it did not have no root, it withered away. So the second soil the seed falls on is on a stony ground where rocks are. Today, there's people who are hearing me and the Word of God is being preached. And the Holy Spirit is working, talking to your heart. And you could be so, your heart could be so full of other things, stones in it, that just cannot produce great fruit. Let me keep reading. And then some fell, seed fell among the thorns. And the thorns grew up and choked it and yielded no crop. Number 8, verse 8. But other seed fell on a good ground and yielded crop that sprang up and increased and produced some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100-fold. Listen. That's what God wants your life to be. God wants your life to produce. It's a dangerous place to be where you're a Christian for a long time and you don't produce anything. You know that people who live their life in waste, all they do is just kind of just fly through life, don't actually do anything. They will give account to God for what He put in them. You were born for a purpose. You were born for a reason, and that's to help somebody else somehow. And if you don't do it, God will ask of you, what have you done with the gifts and talents and the seeds that I have thrown in your life? Okay? So, very important. Next thing, verse 10. But when He was alone, so Jesus gets alone with His disciples, those around Him with the 12 asked Him about the parable. And He said to them, to you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God. So this parable, it's not just a story. It's a secret that has been given to you to know the kingdom of God. But to those who are outside, all things come in parables. Listen to this. This is crazy. I was shocked about this because I was like, is this Jesus? But it's in red, so it has to be Jesus. Listen to this, verse 12. So that seeing they may see and not perceive. And hearing they may hear and not understand. Lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven. In another scripture it says, lest they turn and they would be healed. This parable is only given to those who are a part of Jesus. Outside people cannot understand it. That's why sometimes people read the Bible and say, oh, I didn't see anything in it. I didn't really enjoy it. You know, it's a good book. Or they misunderstand it. They take some scriptures and they're like, well, Bible is all about this. And they try to build their own things about it. But Jesus said, in order for you to understand this secret, it has to be revealed. It has to be revealed by the Holy Spirit. Then, let's keep reading verse 13. And he said to them, do you not understand this parable? So they came to him and said, Jesus, explain to us. We don't get it. That's why you need teachers to explain, because I don't get it. Okay, great. Great story, but how does it work in my life? How does it produce 30, 60, and 100 fold? And he said this to them, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The key parable is right here. If you don't understand this, you don't understand New Testament. You really don't. Because the gospel is not about what news media tells you the gospel is about. It's not about what the colleges sometimes teach it's about. The gospel is about a kingdom. And if you think about this story, I want to ask you, what is the most important point of this story? Thank you. You guys are quiet today. What's that? It's a heart issue, okay. So you think it's a heart. What else do you think? What's the point of this story? Teach people how to be fruitful, okay. The point of the story, you're pretty close. You're pretty right. It's about you being fruitful. Why would a sower sow a seed and not expect fruit? What kind of farmer would you be if you sow corn, but you're like, I don't care if I get corn, you know, Okay, amen. Amen. And she's exactly right. We're going to continue to talk about that. But the point of this is God wants you, whatever you're lacking, to be fruitful. What are you lacking today? Some of you sitting here and you're like, maybe it's not a message for me. But it's the key parable. If you don't understand this, everything I preached to you the whole year will probably not make sense. The point of this parable that Jesus is saying, he wants you to be fruitful 30 times, 60, and 100 fold. Amen. Where are we at right now? So how will you understand the rest of the parable? Verse 14. The sower sows the word. So the seed is the word of God. So let's say this. You are struggling with depression in your life. Okay? And you start reading the Bible, and Bible talks about joy. And you just read through it and keep going. Then Bible talks about sin, and then it talks about money, and then it talks about, you know, Bible is all scattered. It's not all in one place. And so what you need to do in order to produce fruit, you need to find that scriptures in the Bible that talks about joy. Don't just read anything in the Bible. Focus your reading. Focus your study in the Bible. So you need a certain word. You need a certain seed. One scripture you can use if you need joy in your life, you can use the scripture called, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Right? Or another one you can use, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. That's a seed. But notice the seed will not produce joy in your life by itself unless it is planted in your heart. How do you plant it in your heart? You think about it. You meditate it. Every time you get down, you say, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, it said rejoice. That's a command. Okay, I'm going to start practicing that command. And it has to consume your life. It has to overtake your mind and your heart. Otherwise, the scripture, Bible says that Satan comes and steals the seed. Satan is a thief. He does not want you to grow God's seed in your heart. He wants to grow his seeds. And you know what he sows? Thorns. Thistles. That's what he sows. And the interesting thing about farming and stuff, that you don't have to plant, you don't need to have good ground for the thorns to grow. Have you noticed that? In the middle of the concrete sometimes, you walk and you're like, how is this little thorn or thistle pushing the concrete up? That's how Satan is. Sometimes you don't need to plant thorns. They just will grow. They're everywhere. But good seed, you have to take care. So the point of this parable is your fruitfulness. 30, 60, and 100-fold. Okay? If you need financial breakthrough in your life. Let's say you're in debt. You have money problems. And I know you, a lot of you are young people, so you probably don't have many loans yet. But you need to get scriptures about money. You need to get seed and plant it in your heart about money. What does the Bible say about money? God doesn't want you to borrow money. He wants you to lend money, but don't borrow. He wants you to give. He says, owe no man anything except to love him. So if you take that word and you plant it in your heart, it will become part of your philosophy. It will become part of your lifestyle. If you need marriage help, you know, let's say in your marriage, you need help, you go into the Bible and you find the seed that talks about marriage. And God hates divorce, and you plant it in your heart. You say, everything God, you take together everything that God has about marriage and you plant it in your heart and you protect it. Have you noticed that the by the wayside that's on the sidewalk, the ones that were planted, it was snatched up right away. And it didn't produce any fruit. What verse am I on? 14, the sower sows the word. And these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. They hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their heart. How does Satan come right now and steal the word of people? I told you today that God wants you to be fruitful, 30, 60, and 100-fold. And some of you said, nah. Some of you said, it's not for me. That's Satan coming with unbelief and snatching the word. Some of you should grab a hold of this. Really, God wants me to be that? Yes, God wants you to be fruitful. 30, 60, 100 fold. Listen, how else people will come to Jesus if your life is unfruitful? If you're broke, busted, and disgusted? Nobody wants to follow God who's broke. Nobody wants to follow God who can't take care of them. But our God is a provider. Jehovah Jireh, my provider. The key parable is about fruitfulness. Wow. Say wow. Key parable. So when I'm speaking today, Satan wants to steal this word. He wants to distract you, number one. The reason we're trying so hard for our services not to have distraction is because that's where Satan works. As soon as you start moving around in the service, that's distraction. Satan loves stealing the seed. Another way he loves stealing the seed is when we come to church unprepared heart. We come to church, I know it all. I'm just here to serve. I'm here to do the sound. I'm here to do the music. I know it all. Satan loves that. Because your heart becomes what? Hard. Hard. And the seed falls on it, and what happens? Satan steals it. Do you know that God is planting seed today? And the seed is this. He wants you to prosper 30, 60, and 100-fold in whatever you do. You know you want it, but are you willing to pay the price to get it? Amen? Hallelujah. So some people party too late on a Saturday night. And so when they come to church on Sunday, their heart is so hard that they're sleepy. You know, and by being sleepy, you can lose. Satan snatches. He loves when you're sleeping in church. Right? Or he distracts you with a thought. Oh, I gotta meet with my boss tomorrow. Oh, what are we gonna do after church? And that's how he steals the word. Amen. Listen to this. And these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that is sown in their heart. They don't produce anything. Now, verse 16, that's the second soil. Jesus explaining. These likewise are the ones sown on a stony ground. Stony or shallow ground in another translation. When they hear the word, they immediately receive it with gladness. And they have no root in themselves. And so they endure only for a time. Afterwards, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Second type of soil. The word is good. The seed is good. The second type of soil is shallow ground. Have you ever planted a seed in a shallow ground? What is shallow ground? It's a ground that looks tilted from the top. You know, tilled from the top? But it's really just barely tilled. Some people are like that. Some people, when they hear the word, they're like, yes, I'm going to do it. When you get a prophecy, God is going to send me to the nations. They get excited. You probably see these people in the church too. I'm going to serve Pastor Alex. I want to do something for the ministry. I love this church. I'm going to do something. As soon as they start doing something, they do it for a week and they're like, okay, I'm done. I'm going to do something else. And they disappear. They have no root in themselves. Do you know that the tree, and maybe, Lavar, you can prove this to the people because you know this too, that the most important part of the tree is the root. You know that disease of a tree comes from the root? And a lot of people don't have a root. So many people today switch churches like crazy. They become like a plant, like this. And they said, well, I'm going to put my tree. You remember the Bible says, you shall be like a tree planted by the rivers and you will not wither. A lot of people do this. Well, wow, George, I could plant my tree over here. Hallelujah. They go to his church and they plant their tree there. And they say, I'll serve. 3 months later, they're like, well, God is moving me. You know, God has a different plan. You know, God spoke to me and said he wants me to leave. So they take their tree and they plant it over here by Jesse. And they plant this tree and they're like excited about it. Have you seen Christians who come to church and they're like, I'm going to serve Jesus. I'm going to live for him. And I get afraid of those type of Christians. You know, when spring up so fast, they just grow. Because I've seen too many experiences, Jesse, where they start preaching. They think they know more. And then they wither. Because they had no root. Why didn't they have any root? Because they never stayed planted in one place for long enough. And we have so many Christians today who have no root. They change churches because And I spoke to one guy and he said, well, we are saved apart from our works. It doesn't matter of works, you know.
And then he tells me, second thing, he says, I don't go to that church because they're bad. They have bad works. And I'm like, didn't you say that it's not about the works? It's just being a believer. But now you're saying you don't go to that church because they're bad people there. They don't have good works. I'm like, how come, what's the double standard here and there? Okay? And so what people do, they don't stick around. When you plant a seed of financial blessing in your life from the Bible, they plant it, they believe it, they get excited, that's it, I'm going to be debt free. And then when the trials come to test that word, they say, ah, no, that's not going to work. I'm just going to go here and buy a new car, you know. See, people are not like the tree. And listen, double-minded man. You're not a, God didn't speak to you, you're just double-minded. And double-minded man will not receive anything from the Lord. Forget about it, that's James. Double-minded man, you won't get anything. So, when God plants a seed in your life, don't move it around. Put it up here and let it grow. Amen? Let it grow. Don't be the one who's like, oh, I'm going to do this. Oh, no, I'm going to do this now. Bible, God wants you to be stable believer. When you make a decision, stick with it. Amen. For young people, it could be, I'm not going to live with anybody till I get married. That's for, you know, I'm not going to, you know what I'm talking about? Before marriage. Well, this guy's too cute. I can't pass him up, you know. If I don't, I'll lose him. You know? But yeah. Right? So when you make a decision, you stick with it. What decisions have you made that you didn't stick with? And how do you expect God to do something in your life? Amen. So that's the shallow ground. Shallow ground looks tilted, but it has no deep, no depth in it. And there's so many Christians who look on the outside like they're all that and spiritual, but on the inside, their heart has not been tilted. A lot of people live, and if I can use this analogy, on a cherry that's on top of the cake. Listen, life is not just a cherry on top of the cake. It's the whole cake. It's the whole meal. It's the whole diet. So people who are planted, the seed were planted on a shallow ground, these people know few scriptures. God is for me, who could be against me? They know few prosperity scriptures. They know few God loves me scriptures, and they're done. And they think that seed will grow in it. No, it will not grow in it. Amen? It has to be tilted. Next, am I done already? Oh, jeez. Thank you. Thank you. No, seriously, is this clock correct? Is it 1:30? 28, I got 2 minutes, okay. I've seen one guy here in church, and he came, and my heart hurts for him because he came and he was so on fire for God. He so quickly rose and started preaching, and then as soon as the pressure came against him, he fell away and now is a God hater. And I'm like, Lord, why? Because the soil wasn't dug, wasn't ready. Amen. Number verse 18. Now, these are the ones sown among the thorns. They're the ones who hear the word. And the cares of this world and deceitfulness of riches and desires of other things entering in choke the word and it becomes unfruitful. Jesus says they're unfruitful. Can he say today about your life that you're fruitful? If yes, awesome. If no, get it right. Don't you want to be fruitful? Everybody here wants to be fruitful. So don't tell me you don't. And the thing is, Jesus wants you to be fruitful. The kingdom of God is producing fruit in every area, whatever you lack, in every area of your life. Amen. So this one is the ground that has other things growing with it. Yes, I'll be a Christian, but I'll have this in my life as well from the world, you know? Yes, I'll be the Christian, but I'll also do this thing out of, you know, I'll live a little bit in as a Christian and a little bit as the world. You know, we're to love, I'm doing it for the unbelievers. The reason I do what I do is so, you know, so other people don't think I'm judging them. You know, and the Bible says those other things cannot grow with the good seed. The reason some of you have believed God for certain things in your life, but have not received the promise, is because you put the seed of God and the plants of God and the plants of the devil together. You think, okay, I'm going to live for myself. I'm going to live for my flesh. I'm going to be selfish. It's all about me. And then God's supposed to grow His plants in my life. God is supposed to make me debt free. He's supposed to heal my body. He's supposed to give me a great marriage. Listen, those two things don't work together. The good seed doesn't choke the bad seed. It's the bad seed that chokes the good seed. So if you are believing God for something, you're praying for something, but you're living in a world, don't expect to receive that from God. Because the world will choke the word of God. Amen. Do you want to be fruitful? Because God wants you and commands you to be fruitful. Huh? Yeah. A tree that's not fruitful will be cut down. A servant who didn't multiply his talents and gifts will be called a wicked, unprofitable servant. So yes, God wants you to be fruitful. Take this seed and put it in your heart. He wants you to be fruitful at your job. He wants you to be fruitful in your marriage. He wants you to be fruitful in your finances. Why? But why? So other people in your life who are struggling, who are on the brink of suicide, can have their lives changed because they see that your God is real. Nobody wants to. You know, I told this at a leadership meeting this Friday. I said, don't ask people to come to your church. Don't ask people to come to Jesus. Tell them to come to you. Say, follow me as I follow Christ. Paul says that. Follow me as I follow Christ. It's a cheap way out to say, listen, you have problems in your life, and most people do. Well, follow Jesus. Don't do that. Say, follow me. Become a mentor to some people. Change somebody's life. A young lady came to us and said, listen, and I'm not saying this out of pride, don't get me wrong. She said, because of you guys, I am here in this church. Because of you, I've done this. And it's not because of me. It's because I did what God called me to do. I was fruitful with what I was called to do. In James chapter 2, it says, if a man comes to you hungry and naked, and you say to him, go to Jesus, he'll dress you up and give you food. He says, but if you don't give him food, you're a hypocrite. So Jesus doesn't want you to send people to him. They gotta come to you. Jesus said to his disciples, come follow me and I'll make you something. You gotta be able to be confident enough in Jesus and say, come follow me. And you'll become this. People need something real in this world. People need something to believe in and stand for. And you are the answer for many of people in this city. God wants you to be fruitful. Maybe you'll go to college. Well, a lot of you should go to college. And get an education and be fruitful. And maybe help other people. Some of you will be business people. So you can help others, give jobs to others. You know how many people are looking for jobs? Imagine if you can be that blessing to give somebody a job. Not always be looking for a job for yourself, but you actually can give jobs to people. That's a great feeling.
You can change lives. You can see their kids because you give them jobs. You can see them prospering and brings you so much joy. That's what kingdom of God is. It's fruitfulness. Don't allow the seeds of God, the words of God, dwell with the words of the devil. They can't coexist. Something has to be pulled out. Okay? And the ground number 4 says this. But these are the ones who sown on the good ground. That's the tilted ground. Those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100-fold. What are you going to do today? You listen to what I said today. And if your decision is not to be fruitful in your heart, I want to be fruitful, God. I don't want to just live my life and just coexist or just be here. I want to actually do something with my life. If that's not your decision, Satan already stole the word. Nothing gonna happen. From today, nothing's gonna happen. But I don't want you to get this word stolen from you. I want you to grab it and protect it and keep it.